Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you. Our telephone number, 866-303-2270. Our live free chat room over at tomhartman.com. Live video stream at airamerica.com. Today is the 200th birthday of both Abraham Lincoln and Charles Darwin, and we are going to have a couple of conversations about Darwin today in our second hour. In our third hour, well, actually toward the end of our second hour, in our Geeky Science Rocks, the relationship between oxytocin and orgasm. This is fascinating stuff. Thomas Girardi is going to be with us in our third hour. We're going to be talking about toxic torts, how to battle corporate America. How do you take on corporate America? But here, and our quote for the day, by the way, see, given as this is the 200th birthday of Darwin, and the 150th birthday, by the way, of the publication of The Origin of Species, Darwin's seminal book. Our quote of the day is from Charles Darwin, Charles Robert Darwin. "The fact of evolution is the backbone of biology, and biology is thus in the peculiar position of being a science founded on an improved theory. Is it therefore then a science or a faith? ?" End of quote, Charles Darwin. We'll get to that. But right now, I want to start out with some of the news today. A couple of things that I picked up out of the Financial Times, just and you know, broadly speaking, the economic news. We saw the financial stimulus package was passed. Almost half of this thing is tax cuts, which are going to do very, very little to stimulate anything, if at all. And much of that, well over half of that, went to the top 20% of wage earners in the United States in changes to the alternative minimum tax. So we have a stimulus package that's only semi-stimulating. We have Harry Reid saying, coming right out and saying that he believes that his job is to compromise. And I'll have that audio clip for you in a little bit here. And believe it or not, you know, Harry Reid coming right out and saying that, and that legislation is the art of compromise. And I'm sorry, it's not. Legislation is the art of getting bills passed, laws passed. And people say, well, you know, you should maintain the 60-vote filibuster rule in the Senate. After all, this was put into place in 1917 to prevent excesses in the Senate as part of the progressive and populist revolution that was sweeping the country at that time. And well, yeah, maybe. But I would say, and back then it was two-thirds, and then in the 1960s, as I recall, or maybe it was the 70s, it was changed to three-fifths, to 60 votes from 66 votes. But, or what was then, you know, it's varied over the years as the number of states has increased. But anyhow, you get the point. I would submit that we don't need the filibuster rule any longer. We just don't need it. If Harry Reid is unwilling to enforce it, then blow the damn thing up. It only takes 51 votes to do away with it, the so-called nuclear option. Blow it up. And people say, oh, but then the Senate can do anything it wants with just a majority. You'll have the tyranny of the majority. Yes, tyranny of the majority is called democracy. And if you want a check on the United States Senate, that check is called the House of Representatives. Nothing that the Senate does becomes law until it goes through conference with the House of Representatives. And if you want a check on both of them, on all of Congress, that's called the executive branch. The president has to sign it into law or has the power to veto it. And if you want to check on that, it's called the Supreme Court. We have a system of checks and balances. We don't need to have a monkey wrench in this thing. These are critical times. These are crucial times. And if we've got an incompetent guy running the United States Senate, or somebody who, by virtue of my definition of incompetence, that he thinks that the art of legislation is compromise instead of getting things done, then let's go around him. Let's make it so that you don't need 60 votes. You can do it with 51 votes because the Democrats have 58 votes in the Senate. This is nuts. But anyway, back to the news of the day. China. This and the front page of today's Financial Times. China to stick with U.S. bonds. China will continue to buy U.S. Treasury bonds. See, this is a concern. We're going to have to sell $2 trillion worth of Treasury bonds in the next 12 to 18 months. $2 trillion worth. Is there enough money out there in the world to soak that up, to buy it? Or are interest rates going to start going through the roof because we have to pay higher and higher rates to get people to buy our debt? Well, that second question has not been answered. But apparently the first one is being answered by China. Today, Henny Sender in New York writing in the Financial Times, China says that they will continue to buy U.S. Treasury bonds even though China knows the dollar will depreciate. In other words, inflation is coming. Because such investments remain its only option in a perilous world, a senior Chinese banking regulator said yesterday. Now, here's where it gets really interesting. The senior Chinese banking regulator is a guy named Luo Ping. He's the director general of their banking regulatory commission, sort of like the head of our SEC and a co-cabinet seat as in the Treasury Department rolled into one. Keep in mind, China is not a democracy. It's an autocracy, an authoritarian, semi-communistic government. And so it runs somewhat different than ours does, to say the very least. They are now, by the way, the world's largest holder of U.S. treasuries already. They're sitting at about some guesses as high as $2 trillion, certainly at least $1 trillion of U.S. treasuries already. So here's what Mr. Ping has to say. Keep in mind, this is the guy who's in charge of whether or not China buys our treasuries. This is the guy who holds our financial fate in his hands as a consequence of 28 years of insane Reaganomic policies, David Stockman's, you know, starve the beast, and Grover Norquist, drown government in a bathtub, tax cuts. Why are we cutting taxes? That's cutting revenue to the government. That means we have to borrow even more from China, which makes it even crazier that we passed a tax bill that had tax cuts in it. But nonetheless, this is the guy, if we're going to have our tax cuts, or if the three Republicans who are defining the tune for all of the Democrats in the United States Senate are going to have their damn tax cuts, so we have to borrow more money from China. Here's what the guy in China, who has the final say over whether China buys our treasuries, in other words, loans us the money or not, here's what he has to say in today's Financial Times. I am quoting his exact words. The guy speaks English. Quote, "We hate you guys. Once you start issuing $1 trillion, $2 trillion, and then what he's talking about is treasuries, in other words, debt. We know the dollar is going to depreciate. So we hate you guys. There's nothing much we can do." He went on to say, except for U.S. treasuries, what can you hold? Gold? You don't hold Japanese government bonds or U.K. bonds. Now, let me explain what he's talking about there. Yes, they are buying gold, and they're buying gold like crazy, and they will continue to. And in my opinion, you will see the price of that going up. And that's a symptom, more than anything else, of the depreciation of the U.S. dollar. But the reason why he's ridiculing buying Japanese and U.K. bonds is because China, as a consequence of our trade policies, our absolutely insane trade policies that allow companies like Hewlett-Packard, Carly Fiorina's old company, to go over to China and set up factories to manufacture things to sell here, and as if it was from an American company, and basically outsource labor, that have made China, the United States' manufacturing floor, with 30 million Chinese jobs and probably 6 to 10 million U.S. jobs gone, 30 million Chinese jobs created as a consequence of that, that China, because they're manufacturing all our stuff, we are buying that stuff from them, but we're not selling them anything except our debt. See, China is ending up with $1 trillion a year in excess dollars. What are they going to do with it? There's not $1 trillion a year worth of U.K. and Japanese bonds floating around in the market. That's what he's talking about when he says, what are you going to do? He says, except for U.S. treasuries, what can you hold? Gold? You don't buy Japanese government bonds and UK bonds. U.S. Treasuries are the safe haven for everyone, including China. It's the only option. Because this year he's going to have to dispose of $1 trillion. Next year he's going to have to dispose of, well, it's actually $870 billion, but it's close enough, nearly $1 trillion. What's he going to do with that money? Now, part of it is being used to buy up the United States. Go to economyandcrisis.org. You can see how that well documented. I've documented it many times on this program. Another disintegration of this country. But mostly it is this. Liu Ping, Director General, the Chinese Banking Regulatory Commission, we hate you guys. Once you start issuing $1 trillion, $2 trillion, you know the dollar's going to depreciate. So we hate you guys. But there's nothing much we can do. Mohammed Al-Jassir, the vice governor of the Saudi Arabian Monetary Agency, joined Mr. Liu in speaking out against what he called America's laissez-faire capitalism. It gets more interesting. Stick around.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Annoying Republicans by defending the Constitution. Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
There are only 2 days left until Valentine's Day. This is the last chance to get flowers in time for the big day. Order now for Valentine's Day or it won't be pretty. ProFlowers has a last-minute exclusive offer just for my radio listeners, but you don't have much time left before Valentine's Day, so listen up. You choose 1 dozen red roses in a free ruby red vase or 2 dozen assorted roses in a free clear glass vase. Plus, each bouquet comes with free truffles for just $39.99. Don't wait to order. The big day is this Saturday, and supplies won't last. ProFlowers are guaranteed to stay fresh for at least 7 days, and ordering from ProFlowers is much easier and faster than standing in line at the florist. This is your last chance to get your roses in free vase and free truffles in time for Valentine's Day for just $39.99. Here's what I want you to do. Go to ProFlowers.com and find the radio microphone located in the upper right-hand corner. Click it and just type in my password, Hartman. That's ProFlowers.com, password Hartman. Or call 1-800-PRO-FLOWERS, that's 1-800-PRO-FLOWERS, and don't forget to use my password, Hartman, with two N's.
He's an outsider.
This is a demise of a civilization.
With an insider's perspective.
Demise of civilization? What are we talking about here?
Ron Reagan, evenings, 6 to 8.
Well, no wonder Bernie Marcos is so upset.
Affording people a chance to unionize so that they could get better wages and benefits would be the death of America.
Ron Reagan, right after Randy Rhodes.
You've got to wonder about these titans of capitalism. You got to wonder what's going on in their head.
AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. Taking the complicated and making it sound simple.
What is wrong with this man, Michael Steele?
Randy Rhodes.
First of all, he told congressional Republicans the goose egg that you laid on the president's desk was just beautiful. And then he attacked Democrats for being the obstructionist.
The Randy Rhodes Show.
And the only thing worse than stupidity is being proud of your stupidity.
3 to 6.
And the only thing worse than being proud about your stupidity is being proud and hypocritical about your stupidity.
On AM 620 KPOJ.
Come by. Literally. I mean it. Come by a Lazy Boy Furniture Gallery this weekend. Come by between 9 and noon Saturday and save 15% off everything. Come by between noon and 3 and save 10%. Come by after 3 on Saturday and get 8% off through Monday. And you'll get 2 years to pay for whatever you buy. No interest for 24 months. Huge savings. Awesome furniture. LazyBoyPortland.com. You're home now. Put your feet up.
Hi, I'm your local Geico agent.
What are you doing inside my piano?
Playing Mozart.
What?
No, actually, I'm here to help you save money on your car insurance. Because I'm located right here in town, I'm always close by, so if you ever need help saving money, I'm never far away.
That's pretty close.
Yeah, that way you get Geico's same low rates, but with the personal service of a local agent. Oh, by the way, can you do me a favor?
Okay.
Yeah, when you play, can you stick with B-flat? F hits me right in the nose.
Stop talking now.
If you ever need help saving money on car insurance, have questions about your policy, or just want a free rate quote, your local GEICO agent is always close by.
Your local GEICO office can help you insure more than just your car. They can help you with motorcycle, boat, homeowners, renters, and other insurance products. For a free rate quote, call 503-794-0901. That's 503-794-0901. Or visit your local GEICO office at 13031 Southeast 84th Avenue in Clackamas.
Dear Mom and Dad, well, the Army has finally seen fit to give me some time off, so I'm writing to tell you that I'm doing fine over here. And Mom, since you asked, if anyone wants to help, just tell them to contact the USO. You can't believe how much they do for us. With love, your son Michael.
The USO depends on the generosity of the American people. To find out how you can help, visit us at USO.org. The USO. Until everyone comes home.
There are some that say now's not a great time to buy, but I say the timing couldn't be more perfect. And my friends at Chevy share my sentiments. So during the Chevy President's Day sale, they're offering great deals on cars, trucks, and crossovers, like the Chevy Malibu LTZ, which offers an EPA estimated 33 mpg highway, or the award-winning 2009 Chevy Silverado, which has earned Car and Driver's Best Pickup in 2007 and 2008. With great financing or cashback deals, these vehicles are ripe for the picking. Now through March 2nd, just head into your local dealer or go to Chevy.com for details.
Now more of Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
And welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Our program brought to you in part, by the way, by the Teamsters. Well, not by the way. We're honored and pleased. We brought to you in part by the Teamsters, proud supporters of the Employee Free Choice Act, one of the things that will help put America back together. You can read all about it over at Teamster.org. So this article in the Financial Times, China to stick with U.S. bonds, they wrap Henny Sender in New York wraps up this article. He's the reporter, wraps up the article. He's quoting Mr. Liu Ping, the director general of the Chinese Banking Regulatory Commission, who says he hates us, but he's going to buy our bonds anyway. He quotes him by saying, wraps it up by saying, China intends to maintain its separation of investment and commercial banking based on its observations of the U.S. after the repeal of the Glass-Steagall Act. Verbatim quote from the Financial Times. In other words, we did what Phil Graham and John McCain and all the Republicans who've been marching in lockstep ever since Ronald Reagan came into office wanted us to do. Bill Clinton signed that law in 1998 or 1999, repealing Glass-Steagall. And it led to this. And the Chinese say, we're not going to make that mistake. What, you think we're crazy? And then Mohammed al-Yasser, the vice president of the Saudi Arabian Monetary Agency, and Mr. Liu also spoke out against what Liu called America's laissez-faire capitalism. And here's a verbatim quote now from the Saudi. The Chinese aren't buying all of our treasuries. The Saudis are buying an awful lot of them. You know, we spend about $700 billion a year on foreign oil, and much of that goes to Saudi Arabia. And so they're sitting on a bunch of dollars, too, that they got to figure out something to do with. Okay, well, let's buy treasuries. He says, and I quote, "Perhaps banking is no different from public utilities, where government participation is necessary. Deregulation in the U.S. has gone a little bit too far. The market cannot be omnipotent." I hate to say I told you so. Merrill last year, this is in the Financial Times, nearly 700 Merrill Lynch executives had cash bonuses of more than $1 million each last year after taxes. By the way, Merrill posted a loss of $27 billion for the year. The top 149 bonus recipients got a total of $858 million. The top four got $121 million. The next 10 got $128 million, and the top 149, a total of $858 million in bonuses. At the same time that Lewis was asking for $20 billion in government funds because his company had lost $27 billion. Fred 42 in our chat room has the solution. Want to know what to do with toxic assets? Give them to these guys as bonuses. It's a great idea. Andrew Cuomo, by the way, New York's attorney general, is calling some of these guys to testify under oath. He wants to know what the hell's going on. And I agree. And speaking of attorney generals, Elliot Spitzer, this is so important to revisit because this goes back to what we are witnessing right now is not some business cycle. It is the direct consequence of conservatives, the same conservatives, by the way, who are squealing like stuck pigs right now in the United States Senate and the House of Representatives about this bailout or this, not the bailout, the stimulus. Even I am mixing them up. This so-called stimulus package. Why don't they call it a damn jobs bill? Anyway, the stimulus package, the same conservatives created the situation in which these criminals could prosper, these criminals who are taking $100, $100 million bonuses. February 14th, 2008, Elliot Spitzer, writing in the Washington Post, and I quote, "Several years ago, state attorneys general and others involved in consumer protection began to notice a marked increase in a range of predatory lending practices by mortgage lenders. Some were misrepresenting the terms of loans. Others were making loans without regard to consumers' ability to repay. They were making loans with deceptive teaser rates that later ballooned astronomically. They were packing loans with undisclosed charges and fees. They were even paying illegal kickbacks. These and other practices, we noted," this is he and state attorney generals across the country, "we noted, were having a devastating effect on homebuyers. In addition, the widespread nature of these practices, if left unchecked, threatened our financial markets." Now, this is Spitzer writing a year ago. "Even though predatory lending was becoming a national problem, the Bush administration looked the other way and did nothing to protect American homeowners. In fact, the government chose instead to align itself with the banks that were victimizing consumers. Predatory lending was widely understood to represent a looming national crisis. This threat was so clear that as New York Attorney General, I joined with colleagues in the other 49 states in attempting to fill a void left by the federal government. Individually and together, state attorneys general of both parties brought litigation or entered into settlements with many subprime lenders that were engaged in predatory lending practices. Several state legislatures, including New York's, enacted laws aimed at curbing such practices." What did the Bush administration do in response? Writes Elliot Spitzer on February 14, 2008 in the Washington Post. What did the Bush administration? Did it reverse course and decide to take action to halt this burgeoning scourge? Not only did the Bush administration do nothing to protect consumers, it embarked on an aggressive and unprecedented campaign to prevent states from protecting their residents from the very problems to which the federal government was turning a blind eye. Not only did they set up the possibility for this, they pushed the damn thing through. 866-303-2270. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Wasn't Jesus a community organizer? Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ. Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Past the hour. Welcome back. I am broadcasting, as you probably know, from a station here in Portland, Oregon, AM 620 KPOJ, a very, very successful progressive station and very, very well run. And our sister station in this cluster runs the Limbaugh Show, which plays in the men's room, which is where I just came back from. And I'm hearing this whole rant about, oh, we got this whole Christmas tree and we're getting all these giveaways. We got to stop this thing in its tracks. We can't have this because this legislation, this is just a gift to the liberals. We got to kill it off. Oh, man, it is crazy. Well, this from the Newswire, as they say, in testimony before Congress today, Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner warned that by continuing to talk, he might plunge the nation into a depression. The nation's economy is in a crisis that could easily turn into a catastrophe, the Treasury Secretary said. In this precarious state, it is highly vulnerable to my talking. He pointed to the Dow Jones Industrial's 300-point drop during his previous day of congressional testimony as proof that his policy statements pose a serious threat to the nation's economy. What further damage could my vague remarks do? The truth is, I don't know. Overseas markets plunged on the news. Mr. Geithner was talking again, with both the Nikkei and the FTSE shedding over 8% of their value. At a town hall meeting in Indiana, President Barack Obama heard from housewife Carol Foilers, 47, who pleaded with the president to make Mr. Geithner stop talking. "Every time he opens his mouth, I'm afraid I'm going to lose my house," she said. President Obama hugged Mrs. Foiler and said, "We'll see what we can do about the Geithner problem. I will do everything in my power to get Tim to stop talking," the president said. "Quite honestly, I have my hands full with Biden." So, no, it's not the real news. It's from Andy Borowitz, BorowitzReport.com, and with kind thanks to Andy Borowitz for that. I just want to share the last couple sentences of Elliot Spitzer's piece with you, and then we'll pick up your phone calls on this and other topics of the day. Spitzer's talking about how he and all 49 states, the attorneys general of every state in the union, tried to stop the criminal activity that was going on exploding. I mean, this. Keep in mind, this was the same time that in Tom DeLay's office, his staffers were engaged in day trading in stocks where they had inside information because they knew legislation was coming up. Remember Congressman Brian Baird came on this program and says, I can't believe what I just discovered. He tried to make it illegal. And when the Republicans controlled Congress, they wouldn't let his bill even come to the floor. Because there's this loophole that says anybody in the world, if Martha Stewart trades on inside information, she goes to prison. But if a member of Congress or his staff trades on inside information, it's legal. So these guys were actually day trading in Tom DeLay's office. I mean, talk about a culture of corruption. That was, it is to this day, the Republican Party. But that was functionally our government when the Republicans were controlling it. Mike Malloy talks about the Republican or the Bush crime family. It's the entire Republican Party crime family. It's a mafiosa. I mean, the Bush crime family is like, you know, the godfather, but it's the entire thing. So anyhow, here's what Elliot Spitzer wrote a year and a couple of weeks ago in the Washington Post, Thursday, February 14th, 2008, page 825, the Washington Post, predatory lenders, partners in crime is the headline. The subhead, how the Bush administration stopped the states from stepping in to help consumers. He says in 2003, during the height of the predatory lending crisis, the OCC, that's the Office of the Comptroller and of the Currency. Right, this is an obscure federal agency that came into existence during the Civil War, and it was supposed to protect the soundness of banks. During the Civil War, prior to the Civil War, we'd had the collapse of two U.S. banks. Right, in the 19-teens and the 1930s, as I recall, the first and second U.S. banks, not to mention all kinds of banks, state banks all over the place. The OCC, for 140 years, the OCC's job was basically to make sure that the banks were, you know, their books were balanced. Okay, so in 2003, Elliot Spitzer writes, during the height of the predatory lending crisis, the OCC invoked a clause from the 1863 National Bank Act. This is the law that put the OCC into business, to issue formal opinions preempting all state predatory lending laws, thereby rendering them inoperative. You get this? The Bush administration, the executive branch, the president's branch, the vice president's branch, said, no, Mr. Spitzer, you may not stop predatory lending in your state or any other attorney general. You may not do it. And in fact, we're going to go even farther than that. Spitzer writes, the OCC also promulgated new rules that prevented states from enforcing any of their own consumer protection laws against national banks. This is why I'm saying bank charters should be state only. Spitzer goes on, the federal government's actions were so egregious and so unprecedented that all 50 state attorneys general and all 50 state banking superintendents actively fought the new rules. But the unanimous opposition of the 50 states, Spitzer writes, did not deter or even slow the Bush administration, I would say this criminal enterprise that brought us this economic disaster, did not deter or even slow the Bush administration in its goal of protecting the banks. In fact, when my office, Spitzer writes, opened an investigation of possible discrimination in mortgage lending by a number of banks, the OCC filed a federal lawsuit to stop our investigation. Throughout our battles with the OCC and the banks, the mantra of the banks and their defenders was that efforts to curb predatory lending would deny access to creditors to the very consumers the states were trying to protect. But the curbs we sought were on predatory and unfair lending, and they would in no way have jeopardized access to the legitimate credit market for appropriately priced loans. When history tells the story of the subprime lending crisis, this is Elliot Spitzer back when he was still governor, right? When history tells the story of this, in fact, just a few months before all of a sudden the feds out him for getting it on with a hooker. Gee, I wonder why the crime family, the institutionalized crime organization of the Bush administration went after Elliot Spitzer. When history this is the last paragraph of his article in the Washington Post. When history tells the story of the subprime lending crisis and recounts its devastating effects on the lives of so many innocent homeowners, the Bush administration will not be judged favorably. The tale is still unfolding. But when the dust settles, it will be judged, that's the Bush administration, as a willing accomplice to the lenders who went to any lengths in their quest for profits. So willing, in fact, that he used the power of the federal government in an unprecedented assault on state legislators, as well as on state attorneys general and anyone else on the side of consumers. You want to know who brought us this economic disaster? It started with Ronald Reagan. It's the Republican Party and their Democratic Party so-called conservative handmaidens. 866-303-2270. Chantel in Jacksonville, Florida. Hey, Chantel.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I am great, but I'll get better. How about you?
Oh, I'm doing okay. Just trying to make it as we live.
There you go.
I just got to say, Elliot Spitzer hit the nail on the head. I always knew it was quite fishy with this whole scandal. They couldn't find anything with any real bite to it. They had to find something that was really a civil matter between him and his wife. But back to the stimulus, I'm really disheartened. I was so encouraged when Obama took the gloves off when he had that speech and he started to name names. He's like, you know, these people are the ones that are falling. But I really want to get some people together, and we go out there in front of Congress, and we start putting out signs and saying, Democrats, the Congress and Senate, grow a pair.
Yeah.
You know, you're letting three Republican senators run the show. Yeah. They are not in power. What happened to them 4 years ago? What happened to them 8 years ago? If they had so much of the consumers and the homeowners and just plain Americans in mind, they would not let it get this far. And it just really bothers me that Boehner has so much control. He's the minority leader. Emphasis on the word minority.
Yeah, yeah. And
it really bothers me. And I'm like, okay, I read on Yahoo today that they said that they're dropping the amount of the credit towards middle and low-income households from 800 to 400. And couples were originally supposed to get 2,000, I believe. They're dropping it from 1,200 to 800. And they're keeping the tax cuts. The idea of a stimulus bill is to stimulate the economy, not to stop revenue from coming back to our government.
Yeah.
Where's it going to come from?
You're absolutely right. And you know, the whole thing, I mean, tax cuts, it's just crazy. It's very well said, Chantel. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call. In fact, you know, here is Harry Reid, you know, sharing his wisdom about his job with the American people. And I just, you know. Yeah, I know. I'm never going to get any money from the Democratic Party. I don't care. I want to say the truth.
Legislation is the art of compromise, consensus building, and that's what we did.
No, it's not. I'm sorry, Harry. It is not the art of consensus building and compromise. Legislation is the art of passing laws. And when you are the majority in this country, you can pass the laws. And you can even change the rules of the Senate so that you can pass the laws. If we really are in a crisis, keep in mind, the Republicans were willing to blow up the filibuster rule over Sam Alito and John Roberts, which was no kind of crisis whatsoever. It was just about getting somebody on the Supreme Court who would vote to make abortion illegal. I mean, that was the bottom line for most of them, or who would vote to maintain corporate personhood. If the Republicans were willing to blow that up, and you're saying that we have a real crisis right now?
Legislation is the art of compromise, consensus building, and that's what we did.
No. No. If you really, really believe this is a crisis, then get out of the way and let us get something done here. We'll be right back.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Fighting mind-numbing incompetence. Tom Hartman, nationwide. Weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
The hardest part of any home improvement project is finding a good quality contractor, somebody who's going to do the job right, complete it on time and within budget, and not going to hassle you. So who do you call? Who do you trust when you need a plumber, a painter, an electrician? I'll tell you who to call. Like me, call Angie's List. Before we signed up for Angie's List, we had a disaster contractor install a kitchen counter. We used Angie's List to find a handyman to show up and fix everything. They really came through for us. More than 650,000 homeowners nationwide use Angie's List for ratings and reviews on more than 300 service categories, even doctors. It's a word-of-mouth network for consumers. Angie's List is a growing collection of homeowners' real-life experiences with local service companies. Now the people who join Angie's List, they're like you. They're looking for a way to find trustworthy companies that perform high-quality work. To join Angie's List, go to AngiesList.com and eliminate the fear of hiring the wrong company. I joined Angie's List, and you should too today at AngiesList.com. 1-888-888-LIST. 888-888-LIST.
How to remove cash from a can of paint. Step 1, go to the Home Depot. Step 2, get $5 off all 1-gallon cans and $20 off all 5-gallon buckets of beautiful bare paint. Step 3, put color on your walls and all the cash you saved in your wallet.
The Home Depot has lowered the price on the paint supplies you need most. And now get $5 off all 1-gallon cans and $20 off all 5-gallon buckets of bare paint. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid through 216, U.S. only. See store for details.
Every year, Sleep Country sells literally thousands of new mattresses from the best brands. And every year, mattress factories change their models. So Sleep Country has to clear out hundreds of last year's mattresses. But Sleep Country's huge year-end clearance sale ends Monday. Save on selected Simmons, Sealy, Beautyrest, and Posturepedic. These are brand new mattresses. They're just last year's model. And don't miss closeout savings on floor samples, scratched and scuffed, and customer returns. And this week only, get 36 months free financing with minimum purchase. That's no down and no interest for 3 years on approved credit. See store for details. But Sleep Country's huge year-end clearance sale ends Monday, President's Day. Guaranteed comfort, best selection, lowest price.
Sleep Country, USA.
Only 5 days left to get President's Day weekend savings at Sleep Country's year-end clearance sale. Plus, through Monday, get free financing till 2012 on selected mattress sets. Sale and special financing ends Monday.
Hey, Carl Wolfson from The Morning Show. Who says there's no such thing as a free lunch? This month at Floor Trends Northwest in Sellwood, when you schedule your complimentary flooring estimate, you also get a gift certificate good for lunch at either Hawthorne Fish House Southeast or Corbett Fish House Southwest. Now's the time to start planning for your spring home improvement projects. Schedule your complimentary flooring estimate, tile, hardwood, or carpet, by calling 503-236-8775 or visit floortrendsnw.com.
Are you looking for the perfect gift for a progressive gardener? How about a copy of the gorgeous and informative new Encyclopedia of Northwest Native Plants for Gardens and Landscapes by Robson, Richter, and Filbert? You can buy it wherever fine books are sold, but if you buy it from me, Callie Robson, owner of Nothing But Northwest Natives Nursery in Woodland, Washington, I'll sign it for you. For information, call 360-225-6440 or visit nothingbutnwnatives.com.
I want to be a veterinarian. A firefighter.
A video game programmer.
Whatever our children dream of becoming when they grow up, they need to be ready. I'm Susan Castillo, State Superintendent of Schools. Oregon is improving the high school diploma, giving our children what they need to succeed in school, work, and life. Find out how you can help your kids rise to the challenge and make a plan for their future. Visit GetReadyOregon.org.
Sponsored by the Oregon Department of Education and aired by the Oregon Association of Broadcasters and the station.
Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
You know, a big piece, actually, of the economy coming back. There's the unemployment figures are not as bad in January as they expected. There was actually an uptick in sales. A lot of it has to do with psychology, too. Obama gets elected. He gets inaugurated. People say, you know, things are going to get better. And I want to share with you Robert Reich's thoughts on why the Republicans are attacking Obama in just a second. First,
trailers for sale or rent.
I'm hitting the road. Coming up February 26th and 27th, I'm in Washington, D.C. for CPAC. March 7th in Seattle, a one-day cruise, am1090seattle.com. March 19th in Chicago, debating Michael Medved, sponsored by WCPT and Chicago's ProgressiveTalk.com. And May 2nd, Denver, Colorado, I am keynoting the Green Festival. And, of course, tomorrow night, for those of you listening here in Portland, Oregon, I'll be at Livewire, the gig down at the Baghdad Theater. Peter Eames Carlin is going to be there. Michelle Gendelman. It's going to be great fun. It's going to be great fun, and we're going to have a fine time. So look forward to seeing you there. So what Robert Reich is saying in his blog today, robertreich.blogspot.com, what he's saying is that there is a method to the madness of the Republicans. This is all about politics. They don't give a damn about America or the consequences to America. It's all about politics. They know that even if this economic stimulus bill is successful, and the odds are that as feeble as it is, it will have some positive impact. Even if it's successful, it's going to take a year for it to filter through the economy. It's going to take another 6 months for people to start hiring. And it's going to be November, December 2010, early 2011, before we really see the economy start to turn around, which, just by coincidence, is a few months after the next congressional elections. So they're opposing it right now loudly, because every single member of the House of Representatives and a third of the Senate is up for reelection in a year and a half. They are campaigning loudly against this because they know that even if it's successful, it's going to take a year and a half to be successful. And during that period of time, they will be able to campaign as they did back in 96 against Clinton. They're going to be able to campaign on the campaign platform of "It ain't working. See, we told you so." And, you know, when Newt Gingrich rolled out his contract on America, remember that? Now, Clinton's program, to the extent that it was working, actually was working. It was improving in some ways. I mean, you know, it was offshoring our jobs like crazy, but it was improving some things. But it hadn't really taken effect yet. The deficits were not starting to resolve themselves. So Reich says that that will not be obvious that this thing is helping in time to help the Democrats in the 2010 elections. And the Republicans right now are positioning themselves to run against the Democrats. It's the perpetual campaign, the never-ending campaign. Tell me these guys are not thugs and criminals. By the way, I get an email here today from Mike, who former Citigroup employee. He says, in October of 08, in November of 08, after my company had taken the first $25 billion in 9 of 08, it offshored its bank cards activation call center in Florence, Kentucky. He says, this is the operation you call into when you get a new credit card to activate it and get a sales pitch for tack-on products like credit protection. Everyone understands downsizing when a corporation's been hit on hard times. My fluster, no fluster on that, even with a TARP bailout. But these call center jobs are not eliminated or reduced. They were sent to a third world country to cut labor costs, meaning the U.S. taxpayer, hell, even the very ones losing their jobs, subsidized the bank while it moved jobs out of America. How much more do you need to know? Is it Sue Craig in Tacoma, Washington?
Yep, right here.
Hey, what's up?
Not much.
You're on the air.
Oh, hell, hey. I was just, you know, when you came on earlier, you kept talking about American democracy, and I believe in the right to vote, but I don't believe that we're a democracy. And I know that you know better, too. I just like to hold you to the truth.
The reality, Sue Craig, is that the United States is a constitutionally limited, representative, democratic republic.
Bingo.
Now, that said, and each one of those words has meaning. That said, if you look up democracy in the dictionary, you'll find something that very closely resembles the United States. And, in fact, the guy who invented the distinction between the word democracy and republic, between the United States being a democracy and a republic, was James Madison, a distant relative of mine and the author of the Constitution. And he did so in the Federalist Papers in order to sell the Constitution. He was trying to make the point that the old Articles of Confederation were small-d democracy, and that was mob rule, and that we were going to become a nation of laws, and that was a republic. 30 years later, after he was president, James Madison, in his writings, vigorously recanted his own words and said, it is more important for us to remember that we are a democracy than to consider the republican aspects of our nation. He recanted his own words. And everybody pretty much forgot that. If you read any of the histories of the United States written through the 19th century or the early 20th century, America's always referred to as a democracy. And then in the 1970s, one of the think tanks that Joe Coors funded came up with the idea, which went big, went really big, with the right-wing talk show host Rush Limbaugh rolled this thing out. It's one of Neil Bortz's favorite talking points, that the word republic sounds more like Republican and democracy sounds more like democratic, and that therefore we should stop referring to the United States as a democracy and start referring to it as a republic, so people will think that the Republicans more accurately represent the historic values of America. It's a lie. And that's the it's a distinction without meaning, frankly. And that's the history of it. I think it's important that people know it. So, but yeah, if you want to be precise, we are a constitutionally limited. We are, you know, the powers of government are limited by the Constitution. Representative, we don't have direct democracy. We elect our representatives. Democratic, we do it by elections. It is majority rules. Republic, it is a nation of laws. To say that we're not democratic, I'm sorry. I ain't buying Newt Gingrich's. Newt Gingrich was one of the major proponents of that, by the way. Newt Gingrich and Bortz and Limbaugh's talking points. Ain't buying them. They're going nowhere on this show. Nowhere! Coming up next is Darwin's 200th birthday. What did he really have to say? And what does it mean for all of us? Stick around.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Today is the 200th anniversary of the birth of Charles Darwin, the 150th anniversary of his publication of his book, The Origin of Species. And we're going to take two tacks on this. Our first guest, actually, I'll tell you, our second guest is going to be Dr. David Loy, who is a Darwin scholar. He's founder of the Darwin Project, thedarwinproject.com. David is an old friend, and he's got a lot of, and in fact, I'm on the advisory board of the Darwin Project, a lot of interesting information just broadly about Darwin and what he actually said, because many of his writings and teachings or whatever have been wildly misrepresented. The other is that for a long, long time, many people, and this goes back in some ways to the Scopes monkey trial, many people have argued that Darwin's theories demonstrate that there is no such thing as religion, or that religion is a silly fantasy or whatever, and tends in particular to fall, I suppose, on the Christians. Although it's interesting, when you do surveys around the world, you find that in many of the Muslim countries, you find a dismissal of the theory of evolution that is about as high as it is among fundamentalist Christian communities within the United States. And apropos of that, Ray Comfort is with us. He is a Christian minister and evangelist, and started Living Way Publications, wayofthemaster.com, his website. He's got a new book out, You Can Lead an Atheist to Evidence, but You Can't Make Him Think, Answers to Questions from Angry Skeptics. Ray Comfort, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Great to have you with us. I want to say right off the bat that I share, by and large, your theology. I believe in the same. I'm going to call it a mythology, because we're a belief, as St. Paul, identified, is a belief in something for which there isn't necessarily concrete evidence. And that said, though, I don't understand why you would want to deny an atheist their belief in their mythology.
Oh, I don't at all. They can go for it. It's a God-given right for every American to be an atheist.
Aggressively out there telling them that if they continue to hold to that, terrible things are going to happen to them.
No. This is what I'm saying, is that I've been to dinner with 40 atheists. They invited me to have dinner with them. We had a great time. American Atheists flew me across from L.A. to Orlando in 2001 to be a platform speaker at their national convention. They were very polite. They were very nice. We got on great. There are good atheists and there are bad atheists. And recently, we've seen a rise of atheism in America that's not pushing atheism. They want to strip from Americans the God-given right for us to worship him. They're against Gideon's giving out Bibles in schools. They've got a lawsuit against them. They hate nativity scenes. They hate Christmas. They don't want B.C. A.D. They want to take under God from the Pledge of Allegiance. They want to take in God we trust from our money. In 1963...
You know, speaking like that, Ray, you're using these wild generalities that are the same kind of language that I think you would object to if somebody came along and said, you know, Hitler used Christianity. He created the Reichsbishop, Bishop Mueller. It was those Christians who killed the Jews in Germany. It was Christians who were behind the entire Holocaust. It was Christians who were behind the Nazism. Hitler proclaimed himself a Christian in virtually every one of his major speeches. That kind of broad-brush generality... I think does a disservice to any credibility that
you may
have had.
I'm getting to specifics. Here comes the specifics you're talking about. In 1963, it took one atheist to take prayer and Bible reading out of our schools.
How did it get in our schools in the first place? It should have no place in our schools.
That's
our schools are to learn. Our schools are not to worship. Our places of worship are called churches. Do you want the government telling you that in your church you have to teach mathematics?
I don't care if they tell us.
I suspect you would care very much if the government came in one day and said, "I'm sorry, Ray, you've got to have mathematics textbooks in your particular church."
I'm not concerned about government telling us what to do. They tell us we need driver license. They tell you we're right on the right side of the road. They tell us to do a lot of things. That doesn't worry me at all. What worries me is when non-thinking atheists push their agenda on Christians. They try to strip from us our God-given rights that have been purchased by the blood of our soldiers to worship God, and they're eroding it from the inside. And you may think,
excuse me, I think our soldiers took an oath to defend the Constitution, not to defend God. In fact, I know it for a fact, as does our president, and every president has since the beginning of this republic, number one. And number two, again, I don't get how saying that indoctrinating children in a public school paid for with state money in one particular religion is A, a good thing or consistent with the historic values of this country, or B, any different than a government, an equally oppressive government, coming to you and saying, Ray, in your church, you're now going to have to start teaching sex education.
Okay, if that's what you want, they shouldn't teach evolution in schools because it's non-scientific. It has no scientific basis whatsoever. We've got a website called pulltheplugonatheism.com, which will show you that evolution is not scientific. There's nothing to substantiate in the fossil record. I took a camera team to Paris to the Evolution Museum and spent an hour looking for these fossils. They haven't got them. And that's what evolution does. They
Which
say there are millions
fossils
of fossils in the
for?
Fossil record, and there's nothing there. They substantiate creationism, not evolution.
Ray, I'm a little confused here. You went to a museum that has fossils. Right.
No, it was the Grand Museum of Evolution in Paris.
Right, and it's full
we
of fossils.
We spent an hour looking for anything to substantiate evolution. All they had was Origin of Species in a glass case, and they had Lucy, a stuffed monkey with Lucy right on the front of it. There was nothing there, and I've been told by evolutionists for years there are millions of fossils substantiating evolution.
So because a museum in Paris did a bad job of putting their displays together, you who are, I think we can both agree, you're not a scientist, you are arguing that somehow one of the core scientific tenets in modern science is not science? I don't get it.
Well, this is what I'm trying to say. Evolutionists have done to science what hypocrites have done to religion. They've destroyed its credibility. They keep saying there is a massive evidence substantiating evolution when there is no species-to-species transitional forms in the fossil record. There is none.
There are ones that you can actually see. I mean, there's been several insects and bacteria just in the last 2 years.
No, I'm not talking about insects and bacteria.
I thought you wanted life forms.
No, that's bacteria. I want something like apes. I want something like some animal where there's a transitional form, when there is a dog.
Well, I think you know, and this is where even Darwinists may acknowledge. Stephen Jay Gould of Harvard pointed out that punctuated evolution, you know, Charles Darwin was hypothesizing gradual evolution, and punctuated evolution, bottlenecks, is probably more likely. That is, you have massive disaster events, and those species that have mutations that are more adapted to the new environments are the ones that survive, and the other ones die out rather quickly.
Yeah, sure.
But that's still evolution.
Look, give me 60 seconds, and you come back at me with this, okay? Can you give me 60 seconds?
Sure. Stephanie, okay, push the brake by 60 seconds.
Okay, I believe in evolution. Big bang. This life form has begun. Over millions of years, the first dog evolves. And we get to look at it. It's got tail, it's got legs, it's got teeth, it's got ears, it's got eyes. For the first time in millions of years, it can see because it's been blind because its eyes haven't evolved. And it's good that it can see because it has to find a female that's evolved at the right place, at the right time, with the right reproductive organs and a desire to mate. Because without a female, he's a dead dog. Then you've got to translate that to elephants, giraffes, cattle, horses, right throughout the bird species, and also fish. Every single one of them had to have a female evolve at the right place, right time, right reproductive organs, and a desire to mate. And it just didn't happen. It's crazy talk. You've got to have blind faith to believe in evolution.
Or some scientific training, Ray. Let me flip that around. Adam and Eve, after Cain killed Abel, Cain was expelled and went off and married a woman in a nearby community.
Of course.
Where did she come from?
It was a distant sister.
Ah.
As you married a distant sister in the human race.
I see.
Obvious. There's no incest when there's no law against
it. It does not say that in the Bible.
What's that?
It does not say that in the Bible.
It's very clear. Just takes a thinking person to realize, well, she couldn't have come out of nothing. Like
Ray Comfort, his website is wayofthemaster.com. Good talking with you, Ray. Thanks for dropping by. 16 minutes past the hour.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Saving the Constitution. Tom Hartman, nationwide. Weekdays 9 to noon. AM 620 KPOJ. Portland's only progressive talk station.
There are only 2 days left until Valentine's Day. This is the last chance to get flowers in time for the big day. Order now for Valentine's Day or it won't be pretty. ProFlowers has a last-minute exclusive offer just for my radio listeners, but you don't have much time left before Valentine's Day, so listen up. You choose 1 dozen red roses in a free ruby red vase or 2 dozen assorted roses in a free clear glass vase. Plus, each bouquet comes with free truffles for just $39.99. Don't wait to order. The big day is this Saturday, and supplies won't last. ProFlowers are guaranteed to stay fresh for at least 7 days, and ordering from ProFlowers is much easier and faster than standing in line at the florist. This is your last chance to get your roses and free vase and free truffles in time for Valentine's Day for just $39.99. Here's what I want you to do. Go to ProFlowers.com and find the radio microphone located in the upper right-hand corner. Click it and just type in my password, Hartman. That's ProFlowers.com, password Hartman. Or call 1-800-PRO-FLOWERS, that's 1-800-PRO-FLOWERS, and don't forget to use my password, Hartman, with 2 S.
The most progressive 3 hours of local radio you'll hear all day.
Elliott's Hardware has appealed to former President George W. Bush to spend his newfound retirement working as a part-time greeter.
We guarantee it.
Carl Wilson and friends.
Can you tell me where the rakes are?
Weekday 6 to 9.
I'm disappointed. There are no rakes. It's not an error that the store has no rakes, but we are disappointed.
Carl Wilson and friends. Weekday 6 to 9, AM 620 KPOJ.
The credit card companies were calling all the time. It was very stressful. It was really a cloud hanging over our heads.
How would you like to wipe out 30 to 60% of your credit card debt? There are secret programs most credit card companies won't tell you about that can allow a portion of your debt to be forgiven. Financial Freedom of America uses these programs to help you avoid bankruptcy, save thousands, and get more cash back in your pocket every month.
I wasn't sure what to expect, but FFA came through like promised. We're kind of excited to have that stress-free feeling now.
Call for your free, no-obligation evaluation, and FFA will give you the steps to eliminating a large percentage of your credit card bills, medical bills, or department store debt. Individual results vary, and it's not available in all states.
So call for your free information now.
800-517-8430.
800-517-8430.
Call 800-517-8430. That's 800-517-8430.
This Valentine's Day, there are two things you don't want to break. Her heart and your budget.
So go to Walgreens. With great prices on everything from boxed candy to fragrances and cards, Walgreens has more than enough love to go around. Everything to make your loved one's day. And with thousands of convenient locations, many open 24 hours, Walgreens is just around the corner. So there's one more thing you'll save. Time. In every way, Valentine's is sweeter than Walgreens.
How to remove cash from a can of paint. Step 1, go to the Home Depot. Step 2, get $5 off all 1-gallon cans and $20 off all 5-gallon buckets of beautiful Behr paint. Step 3, put color on your walls and all the cash you saved in your wallet.
The Home Depot has lowered the price on the paint supplies you need most. And now get $5 off all 1-gallon cans and $20 off all 5-gallon buckets of Behr paint. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid through 216, U.S. only. See store for details.
Chrysler announces Employee Pricing Plus Plus. Now everyone gets our employee price, plus generous cash allowances on most 09 models. Plus qualified buyers can get low APR financing through Chrysler Financial. Get to your local Chrysler dealer today.
Beaverton Lodge Retirement Residence offers independent senior living in the heart of Beaverton within walking distance of the Beaverton Library and the Stuhr Senior Center. Visit and discover the affordable luxury of Beaverton Lodge with its spacious apartments, large decks, and in-room storage, all in a woodland setting. Visit their website at beavertonlodge.com.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's Progressive Talk Station, AM 620 KPOJ.
We're all coming back. We are coming back. I'm telling you, part of coming back is revisiting history. By the way, in a previous promo, I mentioned that Friday night, I misnamed the theater I would be at. I mixed these two up because Aladdin used to live in that town, but it's the Aladdin Theater where Livewire will be tomorrow night, and I will be there, and the website is Aladdin-theater.com for our listeners who are here in Portland. I will be there, John Raymond, Michelle Gendelman, the Talk Demonic, it's Point Juncture, a band, a whole bunch of, it's going to be a great time. So that's tomorrow night here in Portland. Dr. David Loy is on the line with us. Speaking of Darwin in a serious context here, he is the founder of the Darwin Project, the author of more than 20 books. The Darwin Project, thedarwinproject.com is the website. I am honored to be a member of the Darwin Project Council, which helped put this thing together. And actually, Dr. David Loy is the guy who put this thing together and deserves the vast majority of the credit. I'm just a cheerleader. And David Loy, welcome to the show.
Well, hi Tom.
It's great to hear your voice, David. It's been a while since
you're more than a cheerleader. You're an incredible intellectual resource.
Well, thank you, sir. And it's the last time I saw you, we were having dinner in your kitchen with you and Rian, and I hope that all is well with both of you. The one of the important points, I think this really needs to be made, and you have done this so brilliantly, in The Descent of Man. Everybody loves to quote Darwin using the phrase survival of the fittest.
Yeah.
And they use that to justify basically Republican economics, Darwin's cousin, the economist, you know, going off with this thing. But Darwin really only used that phrase twice. 95 times he talked about love. 92 times he talked about moral sensitivity. Over 200 times he talked about the mind and the brain. It really, his works have been misconstrued, have they not?
They certainly have, and one of the consequences is the senseless creationist versus evolutionist debate that's been bogging down the mainstream for 100 years now.
Yeah, just bogged down my show for 10 minutes.
Yeah, I understand. So, you just had a creationist on.
Yeah,
and
I know.
And the,
but the reality, let's cut right to it. What did Darwin really say?
Well, what Darwin really said was in the rest of his theory, which I unearthed after much research, was that what he says in effect is this. Look, he says, in Origin of Species, I wrote about natural selection and variation, and And as you mentioned, he only writes about survival of the fittest twice in Descent of Man, once to say he apologizes for ever using the term.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, as you point out, he writes about 95 times. There's one entry in the index still in the editions for Descent of Man all over the world today. 95 times he writes about love, 92 times, as you say, about moral sensitivity. I went behind that. I went behind that electronic word count and discovered that what Darwin is really getting at, buried for 100 years, is he's laying down the foundation for evolution in Origin of Species, and in the Descent of Man, he moves on. He says, now we're going to take a look at human evolution, at which point higher agencies take over. He says directly, natural selection drops off in importance, and instead at the human level, the most important thing is moral sensitivity.
Right.
He was big on the moral sense.
So Darwin was one of the original liberals, not one of the original right-wing conservatives who have claimed his mantle.
Oh, he was very much a progressive. You know, there's a mm-hmm. new book out on his fight for the abolitionist cause, and he was very definitely not a conservative.
Right, and in fact, people who were promoting slavery back in that day were quoting Darwin to do it, and he was very offended by that.
Oh, he was
horrified,
outraged by it, and he came from a long family of outrage about the slavery situation.
So could we say, we're talking with Dr. David Loy, thedarwinproject.com is the website, and it's really worth visiting because Dr. Loy, David has done the research and really learned what Darwin had to say. Would it be safe to say that he's been misinterpreted all these years, David?
Yes, he's been misinterpreted for 100 years now. I got so mad about this that I founded a publishing company, Benjamin Franklin Press. I'm 4 books into a 6 book series just to expose the rest of Darwin that's been overlooked, and right now available worldwide are Darwin's Lost Theory, Darwin on Love. This is explosive material, and thank goodness it's beginning to catch on and make some difference behind it. And as you know, being a member of the council for the Darwin Project, there's an awful lot of scientists and educators now that know about this and are pushing it.
Right. That the selection of the fittest among humans, and I would argue, frankly, that this is true among probably most all mammalian species, goes beyond simply physical fitness, that it goes into what we might call moral fitness in as much as it revolves around love, compassion, and community.
Yeah. In other words, since you just had a creationist on, let me put this in. Darwin provided the scientific substantiation of the philosophy of Jesus.
This
is one of his great significance.
Yeah, of do unto others as you would have others do unto you, and care for the poor and all that, the whole thing. Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely.
He states it directly in the Descent of Man.
Yes, and in fact, I wrote at length about the Descent of Man in one of my books. I forget which one. In Threshold. And Darwin had this awful conundrum in Descent of Man, trying to reconcile the savages with, you know, modern society. Dr. David Loy, thank you so much for dropping by, David.
Well, glad to be there, and anytime, Tom.
And please check out, to all of my listeners, thedarwinproject.com, and check out Dr. David Loy's, L-O-Y-E's, books.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2278.
Annoy Hannity. Listen to Hartman. Tom Hartman, nationwide. AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Now people, because together we will.
34 minutes past the hour, the Tom Hartman radio program brought to you by you, our listeners, supporting our show, your radio station, and their advertisers. Let them know that you're listening, please. These are perilous times for, well, for everybody, for radio in particular, and we appreciate your support.
You know it's nice when the postman has a letter in his sack for you.
Ah, yes, we get mail. We get including voicemail here.
My name is Donna Brown. I am a Lutheran pastor, and I'm just calling in regards to the conversation in regards to religion and evolution, and just calling your attention to the clergy letter project, and that thousands of congregations are using this as Evolution Weekend, and we'll be preaching on the evolution as sound science and faith and their relationship. Thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you. Much appreciate hearing from you. In fact, we can do it on the telephone as well. Tony in Arcata, California, listening on KGOE. Hey, Tony, what's up?
Hey, your first guest really burned me up.
when he says it's
unscientific, I just wonder, and I wish you would ask some of these anti-evolutionists if they've ever read a word of Darwin. You know.
Hello? Yeah, it's a reasonable question. And next time I will. Thank you for the suggestion.
Well, because I read The Origin of Species, mm-hmm. and when he says that evolution is unscientific, Darwin used the most basic of scientific method, which was empirical observation.
Right.
He raised pigeons so he could see what happens in the evolutionary process through the raising of pigeons, and he mentioned one instance when a friend of his had passed away and his pigeon brood was was ignored, and all of the pigeons reverted back to one common gray rock pigeon.
Right.
So he has,
which is kind of a variation on what Gregor Mendel, the monk, was doing in what, the 15th century or something like that, way back when, Mendel's square. Mendel's law, you know, where he first defined the rules, I suppose, of heredity, and Darwin following that. I found his work with the finches in the Galapagos fascinating, where, you know, he noticed that when the small-beaked finches were in large numbers, they were more efficient flyers because they had a smaller beak to haul around, and they ate all the small seeds. And then the small seeds decreased in population, and so the large and the small beak pigeons or finches couldn't eat the large seeded plants. They couldn't eat the large seeds. They didn't have a big enough beak to crack them. And so the big beaked finches began to ascend, and then they ate all the large seeds, and then the small beak, you know, they were going kind of back and forth. That's not evolution, but it's natural. It's the beginning of natural selection. It's where he began figuring this stuff out. Tony, thank you very much for sharing that. By the way, Darwin and pigeons, maybe he was the first one to discover the robots from the planet Xenu, and either that's how he got famous or that's why he's being trashed. I don't know. There's something going on here. There's got to be something going on here. Travis in Grand Rapids, Michigan, listening on WTKG. Hey, Travis, what's up?
Hi, Tom.
Hey.
How you doing?
Just great. What's on your mind today?
I have an issue with what your first guest said, the creationist gentleman.
Yes, sir.
About atheists pushing an agenda in public schools.
Yeah, I had a problem with it, too.
That is so backwards thinking that is really what makes me angry against a lot of Christians in this country. And I really have no problem against religion. I myself am an atheist, but I have nothing against people of faith. It's things like that, however, that really, really, really get on my nerves.
Yeah, well, that's why I was pushing back on him, saying, you know, using that broad brush is nuts. There is a small minority of evangelical atheists. There is a small minority, frankly, I think, of hyper-evangelical Christians, and neither one represents the large majority of either of those groups of people. And we do a disservice to either or to both when we speak in those kind of generalities, which is why I push back on it. Travis, thank you for speaking out. I appreciate the call. Mary in Seattle. Hey, Mary, listening to Talk 1090. What's up?
Hi, Tom. I was listening to your guest, and I want to preface this by saying that I'm a gay woman, and when I came out, being in a really hardcore Christian family, I was in a lot of trouble. And it took me almost 15 years to accept that God made me and I was okay.
Yeah.
And I began to wrap my brain around, what if God is so powerful, all-powerful, why wasn't it God that caused the Big Bang? I mean, how simple is that to just stretch your brain around that?
Yeah. Now, the use of anthropomorphism, of creating, attributing human characteristics to unknowables, or to knowables, to animals and things like that, but to, in this case, a deity, is a real tough one. You know, as I told Roy, I share his theology. That is to say, I consider myself a Christian, or at least a spiritual person. Let's put it there. But I am not an evangelist. And I'm not evangelical, and I don't believe that somebody who believes differently from me is cursed or is going to go to hell. My personal belief system has to do with one really very simple thing, and that is that it makes me feel good. It's comforting to me. It has a sense of reality and meaning to me, but that doesn't mean that I have to try to drag somebody else kicking and screaming into it, or that I have to put down somebody who disagrees with it, or who has a different, you know, who subscribes to a different mythology than the mythology that I subscribe to. And then within that, you get the people within these individual mythologies who, and by the way, I put evangelical atheism in as a mythology along with evangelical, I mean, fill in the blank, anything. Not all atheists, obviously, and certainly not agnostics, but in fact, not even the majority of atheists. But nonetheless, why do we need to say to anybody, this is how you must believe? You know, particularly when it has to do with things that are completely intangible, like the afterlife. And especially, why do we have to use to inflict those belief systems on people when they have to do with things like, for example, you're being gay, which in all probability, in fact, virtual certainty, has some sort of a foundation in biology. It's got nothing to do with you know, thinking or choosing or for that matter, religion. And, you know, why...
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's just crazy to me. It's just crazy to me. Mary, thank
you. Well, and one of the things that I had to do, because I tried to approach it from a proof standpoint, and I started to look at the science as an older teenager, about 1 in 10 people through history. And then I met a wonderful counselor that said, you know, you're gay. You don't have to hate yourself. Find your history.
Yeah.
And so I found my history.
Yep.
And what I see most of all, because this touches me personally, because I go to church, I'm studying to be a minister in the New Thought faith,
mm-hmm.
and it's been a complete turnaround for me, because personally I don't think God makes any mistakes, and that includes evolution.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you look at the timeline of the world, it would last clear through a whole gymnasium until it comes down to people, and we're about 3 or 4 seconds.
Yeah.
Worth of existence.
Yeah, it's pretty astounding when you consider it. Mary, I have to move on to other callers, but thank you very much for calling and for your kind words.
Take care, dear.
Yep. Keep up the great work. Donna in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Hey, Donna.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I called in about the Clergy Letter Project.
And oh, you're the person whose voicemail we played.
Yeah. That was scary.
So, do you have a website for it or something like that? You're the Lutheran pastor, pastor who called. Okay.
I'm a Lutheran pastor, yes. And the website, if people want to find out more information, it's www.butler.edu/clergyproject.
Okay, butler.edu/clergyproject.
Right. And this has been going on for about, this will be, I think, the fourth year that congregations have... had an evolution weekend where pastors are preaching, and there are sermons on the website. You can, clergy have signed letters in regards to the teaching of evolution, supporting the teaching of evolution in schools.
Right. And I just, you know, apropos of that, I appear to have lost it. Oh, here it is. And thank you for that, Donna. And we'll hopefully people will check that out. This news story posted in Biology, Vatican endorses Darwin, slights intelligent design. Creationism says the Vatican is a cultural phenomenon like Paris Hilton. The Vatican gave the creationist lobby a left-right sign of the cross today, announcing it would stage a conference on Darwinism next month. This is a news release from 11 February, and declaring that it was one of the fathers of the church that thought up the idea in the first place of evolution. At one point, the conference at the Pontifical Gregorian University wasn't going to give creationism or intelligent design a hearing at all, but apparently the organizers have relented and will consider intelligent design as a, quote, cultural phenomenon, end quote, rather than as a valid scientific theory, giving U.S.-based ideas, intelligent designers, the chance to be smirked at by a room full of monsignors, cardinals, and bishops. So, you know, it's even the Vatican is getting with the program and saying, you know, enough already, enough already. Evolution is real, A. And B, and this is the thing that David Loy talks about, and it's why I think thedarwinproject.com is so important, that David Loy is a real scholar on this stuff, and some really brilliant people have come together to think about this and write about it, is that what Darwin was saying over and over and over again in his lifetime is that it's not just survival of the fittest. It's survival of the most compassionate.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Truth is his weapon. Tom Hartman, nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
Tom Hartman here. Hey, guys, do you know the symptoms of an enlarged prostate? Like it or not, you probably will, because eventually it's going to happen to most of us as we get older. If you're urinating more frequently, especially if you're waking up two, maybe three times a night to go to the bathroom, that's the first sign. Second sign might be burning, pain, or even problems in the bedroom. This is not just an old man's concern. It happens to American men more often than in other countries and can occur as young as 30. So don't ignore the symptoms. Get checkups from your doctor and order your risk-free bottle of Beta Prostate to support healthy prostate functioning. Every man should take Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate will help keep your prostate healthy, and it's a natural alternative. You don't need a prescription for it. Call now and order Beta Prostate risk-free. Dial 1-800-954-0803. That's 1-800-954-0803. Don't put this call off till tomorrow. Call today, 1-800-954-0803. That's 1-800-954-0803.
Ed Schultz.
So I end up with a front row seat in the first primetime press conference.
Noon to 3.
Folks, change is in the air. The Huffington Post was able to ask a question last night to the President of the United States. Helen Thomas is back on the lineup. Big Eddie in the front row. And I tell you what, it all goes to show that
the Ed Schultz Show,
this administration is listening outside the mainstream media.
Noon to 3.
I have earned that seat, and it's probably going to happen again.
AM 620 KPOJ.
I'm Tom Dwyer. I usually give you our number, 230-2300. And now I'm giving you another important number, 350. Why 350? We know too much carbon dioxide contributes to global climate change. And now we know how much is too much. The best science tells us that 350 parts per million carbon dioxide is the red line for humans on Earth. The higher over 350 we go, the less likely it is that we'll ever bring climate change under control. Right now, we're at 387. You can do something. Go to tomdwyer.com and click the link to 350.org and learn about the global movement to bring us back down below 350. Then join our carbon neutral program and offset your carbon emissions now. Sign up using the promo code KPOJ. Save 50% on membership, your car will be carbon neutral, and we'll give you $350 worth of discounts. Now that's a great way to help your car, your wallet, and your planet. Tom Dwyer Automotive Services, keeping your vehicle safe, breakdown free, and operating at their best. 503-230-2300. And now, more importantly, 350.
When I first looked into LASIK, my doctor said I'd have bad night vision. I'm glad I went to 2020 Institute for a second opinion.
LASIK at 2020 Institute has never been safer or more precise. And for limited time only, save $1,000 off worry-free LASIK during our 2020 Institute anniversary event. With zero down and 0% interest for 2 years, LASIK has never been more affordable. Call 2020 Institute at 503-771-2020. That's 503-771-2020 or visit us at 2020institute.com.
Hey, Carl Wolfson here. Thanks to KPOJ listeners, last month, Eyes on Broadway collected dozens of pairs of eyeglasses that will be distributed in March when Dr. Tom Barreto travels to Peru to perform eye exams. If it's been more than a year since you've had your eyes checked, call Eyes on Broadway today at 503-284-2300 to schedule an appointment. Eyes on Broadway is a proud supporter of Progressive Radio, which is just one reason why I've been a loyal patient for 8 years. Call 284-2300 or visit eyesonbroadway.com.
Come by,
Literally. I mean it. Come by a Lazy Boy Furniture Gallery this weekend, because if you come by any time through Monday night, you'll save 8% off the most beautiful and ridiculously comfortable furniture available anywhere today. And when you come and buy this weekend, you'll get 2 years to pay for your beautiful, ridiculously comfortable furniture. No interest for 24 months. Huge savings. Awesome furniture. LazyBoyPortland.com. Your home now. Put your feet up.
Now back to Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's Progressive Talk Station, AM 620 KPOJ.
I'll show you just how cool scientists are. We study everything, that's why we're cool. And yes, most of us got high marks in school. And proud. Paleoanthropology, how we evolved. Zoology studies animals, did you know? Physiology is...
It's our geeky science segment. My favorite of the week, being a science geek. Your breath could be recycled into fuel. Yep, the Liverpool John Lennon Airport in Liverpool in the UK will soon become the world's first to try a revolutionary piece of technology that will recycle passengers' breath, that is the carbon dioxide we exhale, into biofuel. This was originally developed as a way of sequestering carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere. They're using it in a small scale. It's called the EcoBox. It was developed by Origo Industries. It captures the carbon dioxide exhaled by airport travelers and converts it into fuel that they are using to fuel the diesel trucks that run around the outside of the airport. Seriously, the system began in January with the goal of harnessing 24,000 gallons of fuel for the pilot program. They're trying to expand it to 289,000 gallons. Right now, they're providing about 800 gallons of biofuel each day. The project will likely deliver return on investment within 1 year's time. Fascinating. We talked a couple of weeks ago in our geeky science segment about oxytocin, the hormone, not OxyContin, the Rush Limbaugh drug, but oxytocin. This is the hormone that begins uterine contractions when women go into labor, which is what it's most famous for. Sometimes labor will be induced with an injection of oxytocin, and also causes milk to start, lets milk down in nursing mothers. Interesting, though, they have now found that this same hormone, oxytocin, is what causes bonding. They took voles that bond for life and inhibited oxytocin in them, and suddenly they were promiscuous. And they took voles that were these are little mole-like animals, mammals, and they took voles that were typically promiscuous and gave them high levels of oxytocin, and they started bonding for life. Well, here's where it gets really interesting. One of the things that causes an absolute huge spike in human beings in oxytocin levels, measurable in the bloodstream, and of course it gets into the brain, is orgasm. So if you want to bond for life with somebody, have orgasm together with them. Yeah. The flu, it's the humidity, absolutely. Low absolute humidity. See, they've been trying to figure out why is it that flu viruses float around in the winter and not in the summer? Why does everybody get sick in the winter and not in the summer? All these theories, oh, it has to do with temperature, the blah, blah, blah. No, it has to do with the virus. And what makes the virus active? Turns out, and they'd been looking at relative humidity for a long time, and they thought it had something to do with humidity, but they could find no correlation. So then some scientists said, why are we asking about relative humidity? Relative humidity is the amount of the ratio of the actual water content in the air to the maximum possible level. And that varies with temperature. Instead of looking at something that varies with temperature that's relative, let's look at the absolute humidity level. How much moisture is in the air? Forget the temperature. Is it 3%? Is it 5%? Is it 6%? What is it? And what they found was that there was an absolute linear relationship. The more moisture in the air, the fewer viable flu viruses. The less moisture in the air, the more flu viruses. Period. So the reason why flu viruses float around so well in the winter is because in the winter it's dry. The air outdoors is dry, and in particular the air indoors is dry, and flu viruses, turns out, love dry air. Speaking of oxytocin and bonding and all these kind of things, naming a cow is not craziness. This was considered by farmers for hundreds of years, maybe thousands of years, who knows, that if you named your cows, they'd give you more milk. And anybody who's ever known somebody who's had a dairy farm, you know, has heard this story. Name your cows, they give you more milk. Turns out it's true. And what it has to do with is another hormone called cortisol, that when a cow gets affection or attention, its cortisol levels, its stress levels go down. And when its stress goes down, its milk production goes up. And when people name their cows, they tend to talk to them. And cows, being mammals just like you and me, they know that they're being talked to and they appreciate it. And they appreciate it by relaxing, and when they relax, they produce more milk. Isn't that interesting? Search for extrasolar Earth, super Earths gains momentum. Sir Isaac Newton, in 1713, in his seminal book, Principia Mathematica, in which he made a number of speculations which led him to be excommunicated from the Catholic Church, wrote, and I quote, "Of the sun, planets, and comets, the fixed stars are the centers of other like systems." In other words, our solar system is just one of many. And all those little dots out there, many of them may have little Earths circling around them. Well, for the first time, Malcolm Frindland of CORET, this is the France's Centre National of Etudes Spatiales Space Telescope, the CORET, forgive my terrible French, he says, "For the first time, we have unambiguously detected a planet that is rocky in the same sense as our own Earth. About 340 total planets have been detected orbiting nearby stars, most of them too close for there to be much life. They're basically cooked. But they have now," he says, "finding super-Earths, that is, planets that could be like Earth, has been a profound major leap forward, and they have found about a dozen so far, one that looks like a really, really good candidate." Here's another bit of geeky science information. A flashy Armani bag or a fancy suit typically, we think, signals a person's wealth. But in fact, a person's economic status, the SES, socioeconomic status, is more frequently signaled by and detected by, at an unconscious level, behaviors that have to do with their hands, their face, and whether or not they're paying attention. What they found, this was a fascinating study that was done at the University of California, Berkeley, and they found that students whose parents were from higher socioeconomic backgrounds engaged in more of what we might call impolite behaviors, such as during a conversation when they should be paying attention to the other person, they were grooming themselves, they were doodling, or they were fidgeting. Lower socioeconomic students showed more "I'm interested" gestures, including laughing and raising of the eyebrows. Upper SES students also groomed themselves for shorter stints than lower, while lower SES students didn't. For short stints. In other words, the high socioeconomic group is basically saying that they don't need the other person, whereas the low socioeconomic group is basically saying, "I may need you, or I want to be involved with you, or I want to interact with you in some way, and therefore I'm going to pay careful attention." I think it's fascinating. Krauss explains, he says, "Like a peacock's tail, the seemingly snooty gestures of higher socioeconomic students indicates a modern society's version of 'I'm fit, don't need you.'" Very interesting. So, how you can tell, regardless of what they're wearing. This is from the January issue of the journal Psychological Science, by the way. Coming up, how to battle corporate America. Stick around. This is good.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club. Providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon. AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the third hour of our program. Tom Hartman here with you. Back in the days when I lived in Atlanta, when Louise and I and our kids lived in Atlanta, one of my best friends there was a guy named Bob Kosky, who was an attorney who took on big corporations. In fact, Bob had gotten at that time, I don't know if it still stands, the largest settlement in the history of the state of Georgia in a medical malpractice case. And I tell you, these trial lawyers are one of the few things that stands between us and corporate tyranny. And I know this from seeing it from the inside, both because I was involved when my father came down with mesothelioma and tried to sue the big asbestos companies, the people that knew that they killed him and were killing him. And they sent 27 lawyers to his little house in Lansing, Michigan, to try to intimidate him for his testimony. I mean, it was bizarre. It was absolutely bizarre. It was like something out of a bad movie. I mean, it was bizarre. I've seen it from the inside and over years, you know, hanging out with my friend Bob. And therefore, I'm really pleased to have an opportunity to bring this topic up. Thomas Girardi is with us. He's an attorney down in L.A. specializing in commercial litigation, product liability, toxic torts, bad faith cases, associate professor at the Loyola Law School. And Thomas, you have gotten some pretty hefty settlements yourself in your career. $4.5 billion on Vioxx.
Hi, Tom. How are you? It's very, very nice of you to let me spend a few minutes with you. Yes, Tom, we did. The total settlement is $4.85 billion. However, we couldn't have done it without Merck, who manufactured Vioxx.
Right.
Tom, we found that before they sold the first Vioxx tablet, when this drug was in clinical trials, they knew that Vioxx coagulated blood. Matter of fact, there's a memo from their senior medical scientist that says, are we going to give people aspirin with this drug? If we don't, we'll have so many MIs, heart attacks, it'll kill the drug.
And it
so
did.
It didn't take to be a lawyer as good as your pal Bob to be successful in a case like that when you have those sorts of, you know, those sorts of documents.
Right. And your firm, by the way, Girardi Keese, GirardiKeese.net is the website. And Thomas, have you been doing radio down in LA too? Do I hear that right?
You know, that's true. We have a show called Champions of Justice, Tom, and we've had on Supreme Court justices and appellate justices and lawyers who've done something terrific. It's a show a little like yours. You know, I have to say that the comments you made about trial lawyers, and you know, generally when somebody says the word trial lawyer, it's always something bad. But the truth of the matter is, I really, Tom, think we do an awful lot of good. I think they'd run the bases without us.
Oh, absolutely. They would eat us alive. I mean, to some extent, they already are. Look at this peanut case here we've got. I mean, you get these people, the Alan Greenspan, the libertarians, the objectivists of the world, who think that if we simply just did away with all regulation and all rules and only allowed lawsuits, you know, for fraud, and at that, let's cap, you know, death benefits of $250,000 or whatever. And then we get this case where this company, the CEO of this company, apparently said, yeah, I know the peanuts are contaminated. Ship them anyway. I want to make some money. I mean, just came right out and said it. It's like, what?
You know,
and like I said, the only thing that stands between us, literally, the only thing that stands between us and being eaten alive by some of these large corporations are trial lawyers in the United States. And you guys are under incredible assault and have been for years and years. And what's the state of this so-called tort reform right now? This is something that for years has been the Republicans have been pushing.
You know, California, except for the medical malpractice stuff, California has always had a pretty enlightened view about this, that we can't just start taking away rights of the people for nothing and let them be the ones who bear the brunt of somebody's terrible conduct.
Mm-hmm.
And indeed, there are a lot of, if you had like 5 hours, we could go over like the stuff that corporate America does. I'm amazed by it. As I've gotten older, I would think that people would be a little bit more protective. I'll tell you, Tom, about one case that affects every one of your listeners. It's called the hot gas case. When you pull into a gas station and it's warmer than 64 degrees outside, you get 10 gallons of gas, but you don't get 10 gallons of energy. And as a matter of fact, if it's 85 degrees outside and you get 30 miles to the gallon, you only get 26. Now then, that's one part of it.
Is this
However,
because as the gas gets warmer, it expands?
It expands in the tanks, right.
Right.
And now then, that would be one thing, but you paid state tax and federal tax on the 10 gallons.
Right.
However, when Chevron and Shell, they all do it the same, when they go pay the state of California or the feds, say on 10,000 gallons, they say, you know, we really didn't sell 10,000 gallons. They temperature adjust it So we really sold 9,400. And then they keep the extra tax money.
But wait a minute. The gas was underground where the temperature is stable.
No. Oh, no. The gas varies deeply.
Oh, it does. Okay.
Oh, it does for sure. Yeah,
the temperature.
Oh, without a doubt.
Okay.
So anyway, so that's our newest venture.
Well, that's interesting. That's very interesting. Yeah, it just blows my mind the way that the argument is made that tort reform is so necessary. I mean, it was a very fashionable thing among Republicans 10 years ago or so, and I'm guessing that it's going to come back. What's the role of the Federalist Society in all this? The Federalist Society, this conservative legal society?
Right. You know, that's a curious situation. You would think that a, quote, conservative society would believe in states' rights, let the states determine, you know, what the rules should be, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, when it comes to people's rights, somehow the federal society kind of drops off a bit. For example, it's their view that if the FDA approves the drug, no matter how much damage the drug does, nobody can sue. That's the end of it.
Because it's been approved.
Because it's FDA approved, and that's it. And I could give you a list of 200 drugs that have been approved by the FDA, all of which are withdrawn, Vioxx among them, that did a whole bunch of harm to folks out there. And the fact of the matter is the FDA, they don't do any testing. They just rely on the drug companies.
Right, and in many cases, the companies gave them wrong or skewed even lied to them, gave them bad information.
God, Tom, you know all about this stuff. They definitely skew it. And that being the case, they can say, well, we didn't have that many heart attacks, so we should be able to produce the drug.
We're talking with Thomas Girardi. He's an attorney specializing in commercial litigation, product liability, toxic torts, and bad faith cases, associate professor at the Loyola Law School. GirardiKeese.net, his website. He also is the host of Champions Justice, a radio show on K-Talk in Los Angeles, our affiliate in L.A. Thomas Girardi, I'm curious. I wrote a book about corporate personhood that's actually used in a few law schools. It's called Unequal Protection. And, it starts with the 1886 Santa Clara County versus Southern Pacific Railroad case.
Right.
And I'm curious how corporate personhood is playing into all this these days. It's been 10 years since I wrote that book.
You know, I think the real culprits in corporate America are the upper middle management people. They're so hot on their options. They get a huge source of their revenues because of the options.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll do anything to keep pumping up the share price.
Right.
And even if it means putting out a bad product or whatever, it doesn't matter. Let's pump up the share price.
Right.
We have a case against Disney that, first of all, I thought was a terrible accident. When you take the tram from the parking lot to go to Disney, there's a fairly steep curve. And lo and behold, this lady, there are no seat belts and there are big windows, she goes flying out and was rendered with massive brain damage.
Hmm.
So at first blush, Tom, you know, that was a very unfortunate accident. Then we found out that 12 people in the previous 2 years had flown out of that tram at exactly that location.
Hmm.
And here they are. Now, the poor lady now needs round-the-clock care and everything else.
Hmm.
And you would wonder, after the first time, you would think a responsible company would say, hey, man, we better do something about this.
Yeah.
But the only protection, Tom, and you're very kind to say those things, the only protection people really have is the lawyer.
Yeah.
Because the SEC doesn't help them. Look at Enron.
Right.
The FDA doesn't help them. Look at Vioxx.
Yep.
And the fact of the matter is, the only thing the companies understand is
the threat of litigation. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Thomas Girardi, GirardiKeese.net, the website. Check out his show, host of if you're living in the L.A. area, host of Champions of Justice, the radio show on K-Talk. Thomas, thank you for dropping by today.
Hey, Tom, very nice to have you.
Thank you. Great talking with you. It's 15 minutes past the hour, 16 minutes past the hour. We'll be right back.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Blindingly logical. Tom Hartman, nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
The hardest part of any home improvement project is finding a good quality contractor, somebody who's going to do the job right, complete it on time and within budget, and not going to hassle you. So who do you call? Who do you trust when you need a plumber, a painter, an electrician? I'll tell you who to call. Like me, call Angie's List. Before we signed up for Angie's List, we had a disaster contractor install a kitchen counter. We used Angie's List to find a handyman to show up and fix everything. They really came through for us. More than 650,000 homeowners nationwide use Angie's List for ratings and reviews on more than 300 service categories, even doctors. It's a word-of-mouth network for consumers. Angie's List is a growing collection of homeowners' real-life experiences with local service companies. Now the people who join Angie's List, they're like you. They're looking for a way to find trustworthy companies that perform high-quality work. To join Angie's List, go to AngiesList.com and eliminate the fear of hiring the wrong company. I joined Angie's List, and you should too today at AngiesList.com. 1-888-888-LIST. 888-888-LIST.
Taking the complicated and making it sound simple.
What is wrong with this man, Michael Steele?
Randy Rhodes.
First of all, he told congressional Republicans the goose egg that you laid on the president's desk was just beautiful. And then he attacked Democrats for being the obstructionist.
The Randy Rhodes Show.
And the only thing worse than stupidity is being proud of your stupidity.
3 to 6.
And the only thing worse than being proud about your stupidity is being proud and hypocritical about your stupidity.
On AM 620 KPOJ.
Every year, Sleep Country sells literally thousands of new mattresses from the best brands. And every year, mattress factories change their models, so Sleep Country has to clear out hundreds of last year's mattresses. But Sleep Country's huge year-end clearance sale ends Monday. Save on selected Simmons, Sealy, Beautyrest, and Posturepedic. These are brand new mattresses. They're just last year's models. And don't miss closeout savings on floor samples, scratched and scuffed, and customer returns. And this week only, get 36 months free financing with minimum purchase. That's no down and no interest for 3 years on approved credit. See store for details. But Sleep Country's huge year-end clearance sale ends Monday, President's Day. Guaranteed comfort, best selection, lowest price.
Sleep Country, USA.
Only 5 days left to get President's Day weekend savings at Sleep Country's year-end clearance sale. Plus, through Monday, get free financing till 2012 on selected mattress sets. Sale and special financing ends Monday.
What if I said you could erase your wrinkles, tighten your skin, and make frown lines disappear from view, all without surgery or injections? With all the creams you've tried, you're probably skeptical. So I'm going to prove it to you by sending you a free trial of a scientific breakthrough called hydroxytone. Shed years from your appearance faster than you ever thought possible.
I looked at her and I was just, wow, she looked so young.
I told her I couldn't believe how smooth her face looks. She's lost, what, 10 years at least?
Request your risk-free trial of this proven breakthrough today. The results are so impressive, hydroxytone was given away in VIP gift bags at international film festivals.
She always looked good to me, but now I can't believe how young she looks.
Call now for your free trial of hydroxytone. For a limited time, try it before you buy it. 1-800-900-4211. But hurry, when this offer's gone, it's gone. Call 1-800-900-4211. 1-800-900-4211.
Chrysler announces employee pricing plus plus. Now everyone gets our employee price, plus generous cash allowances on most 09 models. Plus qualified buyers can get low APR financing through Chrysler Financial. Get to your local Chrysler dealer today.
Beaverton Lodge Retirement Residence offers independent senior living in the heart of Beaverton within walking distance of the Beaverton Library and the Stuhr Senior Center. Visit and discover the affordable luxury of Beaverton Lodge with its spacious apartments, large decks, and in-room storage, all in a woodland setting. Visit their website at beavertonlodge.com.
Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Now
all the good times will be over for me.
No, they're not. And in fact, if you listen to the song a little longer, you can come to that conclusion. But anyhow, welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. And, oh, no. Not another one.
Baby, take off your coat. Real slow.
Well, the problem is this guy had his coat on. It was actually a cape.
Baby, take off your shoe. I'll take your shoe.
Yeah, and an American flag sequin hat and a green shirt and blue jeans, tennis shoes, and a red cape.
Yes, yes, yes. You can't leave your hat on.
And instead of a hat, he was carrying a 3-foot wooden sword. He came into a store and waved the sword about in order to rob it of a $200 male enhancement device.
Over there.
Yeah. Police tracked him down several blocks away. He was still wearing the cape. The sword was lying on the ground along with the apparatus, which appeared to have been opened and used. No accounting for weirdness. 866-303-2270, your telephone number. Kyle in San Rafael, California. Hey, Kyle, what's up?
Hi. Well, you know, in the last hour, you had that science feature on the planets. Well, anybody that reads Jack Vance knows the universe is full of interesting habitable planets.
There you go. You've named my favorite science fiction writer, which you probably already knew.
I take great note. He's my favorite scientist. Talking to him on the phone is always so fun. He's such an open guy to talk to.
He's a great guy.
What really stimulated my interest, though, was when you were talking about the economic crimes of the folks. Insider training, trading, and all the rest of that. You know, Pat Leahy's comments on Monday that we should have this forgiveness forum where we grant
immunity. Well, he didn't call it that. He called it a Truth and Reconciliation Commission or variation thereof. I don't think he used the word forgiveness, did he?
Well, I'm paraphrasing, but that's the actual effect, isn't it? As Keith Olbermann said in a conversation with Jonathan Turley, I believe it was last night, by having that sort of a forum, you validate the claims that the Bush administration made that they were above the law.
Yeah, if not above the law, at least a class apart. Absolutely. No, I absolutely agree with you, Kyle. And in fact, you're saying that if you are a part of the Bush administration, or if you're a Republican, or if you're wealthy, and those three things almost always went together, and you commit a crime, then the consequence is very different than if you are, you know, an average American or for that matter, you know, poor or African American or something like that. I thought the one really particularly ironic or just brilliant, actually, moment in the hearings when they were doing the Kabuki theater with the bank chairman, which was, frankly, you know, legally a waste of time. It was probably satisfying for many Americans to watch, but, you know, these guys should just be fired, and their companies should be dissolved. And the amount of money that we have given to them, we could have used to simply buy all their stock. We could have bought these banks for the money that we've given them, which is what we should have done. You know, the UK, the United Kingdom, now owns 72% of the Royal Bank of Scotland. They are calling the tunes. The United Kingdom, the government of Gordon Brown. And we should be doing the same. But in any case, this prescient moment, there were several of them, you know, came when the congressman was saying, you know, we don't trust you guys. Well, yeah, no, we don't. And it's worse than that in many ways. Vince in Tamarack, Florida. Hey, Vince, what's up?
Yeah, hi, Tom. Dinosaurs are the proof of evolution. I was hearing that creationist before, because I watch the Discovery Channel all the time. There are animals that live before the dinosaurs and animals that live right after the dinosaurs.
Right.
Did this creationist guy mention that they believe that dinosaurs and people lived together 6,000 years ago?
I know. Yeah, they've got a
whole
museum
about it. Because
your screener
was talking about that.
Somewhere out in Utah or something.
Yeah, and there's also Neanderthal man, like the Geico ads, those are Neanderthal man. They're human, but they're not human like we are.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of animals that lived on this earth. It's extinction. And they lived millions of years ago, billions of years ago.
Yeah, fewer than 1% of all species that have existed on this planet are alive today. What's interesting about Neanderthals, I find this particularly interesting. There's a book called Darwin's Radio that I think Greg Bear wrote, in which he points out that our average brain size, average brain mass is 1,600 cc's. Neanderthals were 1,700 cc's.
Yeah, I heard that.
And,
I heard that.
You know, the question is, like, you know, were they our intellectual superiors? Did we kill them off not because we were smarter than them, but because we were perhaps less compassionate? Did they know something that we don't know? Did they, you know, it would be absolutely fascinating. And this is, Vince, thanks for the call. This is one of those areas where we do have Neanderthal DNA. And where I think, you know, cloning just for the fun of it would be fascinating. It would blow a hole in, I suppose, every ethical guideline out there, because you'd have to do it with a human, you know, using a human to carry it. But wow.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Yeehaw is not a foreign policy. Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ. Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Minutes past the hour. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you tonight here in Portland. No, tomorrow night here in Portland. Live Wire over at the Aladdin Theater. Should be a lot of fun. Just a heads up on that. And you can find that information at the Aladdin Theater's website, which you can eagerly Google. I think it's aladdin-theater.com. And, of course, coming up on Saturday, May 2nd, I'll be in Denver, Colorado at the Green Festival. I'll be keynoting there, greenfestivals.org/Denver. On Thursday, March 19th, I'm walking backwards here now, Chicago, I'll be in Chicago debating Michael Medved. This is sponsored by Chicago's ProgressiveTalk.com. On March 7th, Saturday in Seattle, we'll be doing a three-hour cruise. Yes, it really is, for AM1090Seattle.com. And February 26th and 27th, I'll be in Washington, D.C. for the Conservative Political Action Committee Conference. Oh, strange stuff. The Hindu Nationalist Party. This is the Rashtriya Swayamsevak Sangh, RSS, India's biggest and oldest Hinduist nationalist group. A Hindu nationalist, you know, their shtick basically is that India should become a Hindu nation. Sort of like, you know, the Christian nationalists who say America should become a... They've got a solution to the problem of raising money and the problem of the encroachment of other evil cultures. They are going to replace Pepsi and Coke with a new beverage made from cow urine. Yes, I am not joking. This is true. Om Prakash, the head of the department, says the drink called Gao Jai, which is also known as cow water in English, in Sanskrit, it's Gao Jai. Was undergoing laboratory tests and would be launched very soon, maybe by the end of the year. He says it won't smell like urine. It will be very tasty. They have been promoting for years cow urine as a cure for many ailments ranging from liver disease to obesity and even cancer. This drink will be made mostly of the cow urine mixed with a few medicinal and Ayurvedic herbs. And he said it would be, quote, cheap, end quote. He says, we will be able to compete with American cola brands, even with their enormous advertising budget. We're going to give them good competition, as our drink is good for mankind. We may even think of exporting it. Put me in, well, no. You know, actually, the back to geeky science just for a second, and then I'll pick up your phone calls here. One of the big conundrums is, why is it that people never get fungal infections in the moist parts of the body that have to do with the passage of urine? And the reason why, apparently, is that there's a very, very powerful antifungal in urine. And this is why when Madonna said, pee in the shower and you'll never get athlete's foot, she was actually right. And I know that there is at least one pharmaceutical company that's trying to track down that compound. Anyhow, I'm not sure I want it in my cola. Helen in Ithaca, New York. Hey, Helen, listening on WNYY. What's
Hi.
On your mind, Helen?
Hi. I'm actually calling from the Twilight Zone.
Okay.
I'm Sterling from here. We just played.
Oh, really? Wow. And
that is Dodge's legal word for his daughter, actually.
Jeez.
But I was calling about when you have the attorney who is suing the pharmaceuticals, you know,
mm-hmm.
Kind of made reference to the laxness of the FDA. Which I guess during the past 8 years, it's no surprise. It seems like every agency under the Bush administration is kind of the antithesis of what they really like should be. You know.
Yes.
But I took a leave from Cornell, and I worked as a research assistant at this pharmaceutical company in Skokie, Illinois, called Searle. And for at least two decades, and I actually met Gerald Ford, and I met Donald Rumsfeld there because he was the president and CEO. Mm-hmm. So between the Ford administration, Bush administration, I mean, the poor man is in enough trouble being the Secretary of Defense. And I think when he was in Europe once, he had to, like, hightail it out of there because someone...
Because Ellen Ratner's brother was after him, actually. It was
But he's caused more trouble. And I'm, like, surprised. I wish some investigative reporters would look into this. Because during this administration, this Medicare, I call it deform, they call it reform, took place, which a lot of it just made more money for pharmaceuticals, you know, for the, you know, the pharmaceutical industry. And at the same time, a lot of these bad things happened, the FDA just overlooking, you know, evidence and not really mm-hmm. doing their job. And Donald Rumsfeld is...
Yeah, no, he pops up a lot. And if you want to have a very entertaining afternoon, Google Donald Rumsfeld and aspartame, which leads back to Searle, your experience. Helen, thank you for calling and for sharing that with us. Interesting experience. Bonnie in Burgettstown, Pennsylvania. Hey, Bonnie, what's up?
Oh, I'm well. How are you, Tom?
I am fine, thank you.
Good. Regarding evolution and Darwin, I think it's kind of interesting that Darwin only mentioned survival of the fittest twice in his Origin of Species.
And one of those mentions is an apology for the other mention.
Okay,
seriously.
I have to look into that. I believe you. I didn't even realize this because I did have to go and read Origin of the Species in college, but I kind of went through it quickly.
Yeah.
But perhaps we view the time of Darwin and his writings through the lens of capitalism and some of Adam Smith's concepts on competition, because he lived a century before Darwin. So maybe the stark realities of unchecked capitalism during Darwin's time placed an emphasis on those two survival of the fittest comments.
Well, it did. It did, actually. And as I recall, I may be wrong on this. I sometimes mix up these names, particularly when it's been a decade since I've looked into it. But I think it was Sir Francis Galton was Darwin's cousin and was a major economist during that era. And I'm sure if I've got the name wrong, somebody will correct it for me. But he had a cousin who was one of the leading economists of that day in 19th century England and advanced and took Darwin's survival of the fittest phrase and turned it into basically an economic catchphrase, and it has stuck ever since. And that is, you know, where that thing began. And there was a debate for some time about whether Darwin got his information from Dalton or the other way around, or Galton or whoever it was, or the other way around. You know, whether Darwin was trying to use biology to prove economics, or whether the economists were trying to use Darwin's biology to.
It's hard to say because everything never works in a straight line, so it's really hard to say.
Yeah.
But the brutality of unchecked capitalism did spark Charles Dickinson's imagination, and he was a Darwin contemporary. And I wonder if they knew each other.
That's a good question.
You know,
Dickens,
it's very interesting.
Yeah, Dickens really knew that up front and personal. I mean, his father had been thrown into debtor's prison, and which is why he's so focused on the plight of the poor in so many of his books. Bonnie, thank you for the call. Brilliant, brilliant insight and commentary. Michelle in Pottstown, Pennsylvania.
Hi, good afternoon.
What's up, Michelle?
Tom. Well, I have a little bit of an insider's perspective. I was raised in an evangelical Christian school. And one of the things that they had was a course for us called creationism in the Bible. And just trying to remember back, it was very weak. There was a lot of basically it was a lot of hoaxes. I forget one hoax somewhere in Kansas about bones they found that really weren't dinosaurs, and this disproved everything. And
yeah.
At the end of each test that we would take, there was a fill in the blank. It would say creationism is blank, evolution is blank, and of course you'd have to fill in true and false. And
right.
I really understand being in that environment how just dangerous this teaching is. And you know, my just having studied, you know, graduating from that kind of school and getting into the real world and studying Darwin. He is a scientist who tried to explain how the world worked. And I don't think that it's inconsistent to be able to have faith and also believe in the concepts of evolution. I do. And, you know, I live in a part of the country where if you go, for instance, to some of the, you know, the historical buildings, you know, you go to Washington, D.C., Mount Vernon, the ones here in Pennsylvania, even 200 years ago, man was smaller than he is right now. If you look at the structures, you know, there's so much proof that man just adapts to his environment. And this whole concept of, you know, I've heard it said so many times, it takes more faith to believe you came from a monkey than to, you know, believe that God actually created you. And there's this whole thing where the perspective, and probably the guy that was on it, you know, the author, there's this whole threat to evangelical Christians that somehow that if we actually believe that, you know, evolution, anything about it, is it to somehow negate God in all this. And I really think, you know, if you really believe in an all-powerful God, you will believe that he has set things in motion to govern how this world works. And
yeah,
I think that...
Yeah, no, absolutely. There's a false. It's almost a straw man argument that's being created, and you know, I've noted before. Oh, and by the way, Herbert Spencer was Darwin's cousin, who was the economist who was promoting this stuff. Thanks. A tip of the hat to Sue Nethercutt in our chat room for that. But I think that there's a false fear, and I think that there is an inverse relationship between the aggressiveness with which people evangelize for their theology or their anti-theology, and the insecurity they feel about their own personal beliefs. So Michelle, thank you very much for the call and the comment, and for sharing your experience with us. That must have been wild. And I know that there are actually some folks who have suggested that raising kids, teaching kids this way, is arguably a form of child abuse. They're going to have a hell of a time, difficult time when they get out in the real world, particularly if they want to follow science.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
What would Hartman do? Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station.
Hi, Tom Hartman here. Now, I want to talk to you about gold. Gold is real money, and it's been real money for over 5,000 years. Yes, there will be fluctuations in the price of gold, but gold will still be real money when the dollar is just a footnote in history. That's why I began buying gold years ago, and now I acquire gold and silver coins through ITM Trading. You can call ITM, too, at 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. There may be rumors of a strong dollar policy or rallies that send the dollar higher for a short time, but in my humble opinion, the long-term future for the dollar is very uncertain. That's why some nations don't even want U.S. dollars today. That's why I'm buying gold for the long term. So call my friends at ITM Trading and talk to their experts. They'll answer your questions and send you a free information packet about owning gold to get you started. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. It's really very simple. Just talk to the experts at ITM Trading. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. 1-888-OWN-GOLD.
He's an outsider.
This is a demise of a civilization.
With an insider's perspective.
Demise of civilization? What are we talking about here?
Ron Reagan, evenings 6 to 8.
Well, no wonder Bernie Marcos is so upset. Affording people the chance to unionize so that they could get better wages and benefits would be the death of America.
Ron Reagan, right after Randy Rhodes.
You've got to wonder about these titans of capitalism. You got to wonder what's going on in their head.
AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station.
If your credit card debt is out of control, if you're in over your head dealing with monthly payments, there's a powerful secret that credit card companies don't want you to know. If you have more than $10,000 in credit card debt, you have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe, cutting your payments by up to half or more. That's bad news for credit card companies, but it's great news for you. We're Credit Answers, and we'd like to offer you free information that will show you how to settle your credit card debt and lower your payments by up to half or more. It's yours free by calling 1-800-400-6475. Don't declare bankruptcy. Give us 10 minutes and we could save you thousands. Live better, debt-free. Find out how easy it is by calling for this valuable free information. For the secret that credit card companies don't want you to know, call 1-800-400-6475. That's 1-800-400-6475. 1-800-400-6475.
Is your computer running slowly? Does it take more than 3 seconds for your email to load? Are you getting pop-ups? How about spam? Well, if you're experiencing any of these symptoms, your computer and your privacy are at risk. Because these are the telltale signs of a virus. It'll only get worse until you act. Get a free diagnosis at mycleanpc.com and optimize your PC.
I got the free diagnosis, and now my computer is lightning fast.
My computer never crashes anymore.
Talk about optimization. My computer isn't even this fast at work.
MyCleanPC.com will remove spyware, viruses, and virus-infected emails, all while optimizing your PC performance. It's all-in-one protection, and it's been raved about by USA Today and Computer World. The diagnosis is free. Just log on to MyCleanPC.com. Even if you have antivirus software, your computer could still be infected. Find out instantly with a free comprehensive diagnosis at MyCleanPC.com. If your computer is running slowly or you're still getting pop-ups, you need to get your free diagnosis from MyCleanPC.com. That's MyCleanPC.com.
Hey, Carl Wolfson from The Morning Show. Who says there's no such thing as a free lunch? This month at Floor Trends Northwest in Sellwood, when you schedule your complimentary flooring estimate, you also get a gift certificate good for lunch at either Hawthorne Fish House Southeast or Corbett Fish House Southwest. Now's the time to start planning for your spring home improvement projects. Schedule your complimentary flooring estimate, tile, hardwood, or carpet, by calling 503-236-8775 or visit floortrendsnw.com.
Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's Progressive Talk Station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Okay, so Darwin's cousin was actually Francis Galton. I was right in the first place in my recollection. He was the founder of the eugenics movement and not the economist. And Herbert Spencer was the economist. So now we're getting it all straightened out and much appreciate that. Victoria Jones with the Talk Radio News Service, talkradionews.com, on the line with us. Hey, Victoria, what's going on in Washington, D.C.?
Hey, Tom. Well, the stimulus bill obviously moving towards final passage. We're expecting a vote in the House probably today and then one in the Senate. We're not sure exactly when that's going to happen. Nobody's happy with the bill, particularly Republicans who haven't seen it.
Do you know if the whistleblower protections that I believe it was Olympia Snowe personally stripped out of the bill, or maybe it was Susan Collins, it was Susan Collins personally stripped out of the bill, if those have been reinserted?
The last thing that I've heard is that they have not been reinserted.
That's disgusting. I lack a word beyond that for it. I mean, it's just to say, yeah, we're gonna stimulate the economy. We're gonna pass out hundreds of billions of dollars, which is gonna create lots of opportunities for fraud because most of this money, more than 90% of this money, is gonna go to private corporations who are gonna hire people. You know, you give the money to the government and they hire contractors to build the roads, right? And so there's gonna be incredible opportunities for theft and corruption. And then to take out of the legislation a protection for whistleblowers who would blow the whistle on the corrupt use of this very money seems to me obscene.
I think what's surprising to some people following this is that she's the ranking Republican on the Senate Homeland Security and Government Affairs Committee, which is an oversight committee. And some people would see that it has a role protecting whistleblowers.
Yeah, so I think we're demonstrating that even the so-called Republican moderates, that if you're a Republican and you're concerned and you say that you're concerned about the security of America, it's an oxymoron or some variation thereof. It's just not – it can't be the case. My opinion, not yours. I realize you're the reporter. I'm the guy who rants for a living. But what else is going on, Victoria?
Well, there was quite a lively hearing in the House this morning, House Energy and Commerce Committee, chaired by Henry Pitbull Waxman, of course.
Mm-hmm.
This is over drafting climate change legislation. Now, there's concern among Republicans. House Democrats may try to push a bill through by Memorial Day. And Republicans are saying, look, there's a problem with this because of last year's failed Lieberman Warner bill. They say it would result in significant job losses in coming years. Ed Whitfield of Kentucky saying, by the year 2030, there will be 1 million people without jobs caused by lower industrial output because of higher energy costs. On the other hand, Henry Waxman saying, doing nothing is not an option that anybody should look at without feeling a sense of alarm. So there's a big split on the House Energy and Commerce Committee about climate change.
Right. And I have a feeling that a lot of that split has to do with how much money each individual member is getting from the oil and coal industries.
That didn't come up as one of the talking points, but money is very often an issue in these things.
Yeah, okay.
Very often an issue in these things. A quick point of overseas news that I wanted to interject. Out of Iran, something I'm sure that you're probably already aware of, Iran is putting on trial 7 members of the Baha'i faith on charges of espionage for Israel, insulting religious sanctities, and propaganda against the Islamic Republic. So I just mentioned that in passing as one more strange outrage of the Islamic Republic.
And another brilliant example of what happens when you let theocrats run a country. I mean, we've got no shortage of people in the United States who think that the United States should be officially declared a Christian nation and be run by theocrats. And, we would end up going down the same road just like we did in Massachusetts back in the 1600s when the theocrats ran that state. And,
Yeah, strange. Poll news, as you know, I'm very fond of polls. We've got a Gallup poll and a Rasmussen poll. Rasmussen polls, I was talking last week about how the support for the stimulus was dropping. Well, support for the stimulus is now back. There's a new Rasmussen poll showing that 44% now support the stimulus, 40% oppose it. Last week it was backwards. So now people are back in favor of the stimulus because that could switch again. People apparently are very fickle when it comes to the stimulus. So I just mentioned that in passing just to show that the support for the stimulus is very, very changeable. People, it really seems to depend on who was the last person they saw on television.
Do you think it's that, or do you think it's whether or not Barack Obama, President Obama, is out there campaigning for it? Because he's been pushing the last couple of days, and before that he was relatively silent on it.
I was being a little facetious. I think it depends to a very great extent on how much the president is out there and what it is that he's saying. With a nearly 70% approval rating, I think it's very much dependent on what he does and what he says. Even though there was a very interesting poll out of Pennsylvania showing that people are supporting the stimulus, even though they don't think it's going to do anything for them personally.
Right. So I would love to see a poll that teases out how many people understand that there's a difference between the TARP bills, the bank bailouts, and the stimulus bill. Because I have a feeling that a lot of Americans think it's all one thing, and they hear even Democrats criticizing the TARP bill, and they see all these CEOs of these banks being spanked on TV and stuff like that, and they think that that is somehow related to the stimulus bill.
I think many people think the two things are related.
Yeah,
because it's very complicated.
Right, and that may have to do with the weird polling, and I think that that's a misconception, a misunderstanding that the Republican talk show hosts, the right wing talk show hosts, are very, very happy to have maintained as long as possible. Certainly, from the little sampling that I do driving home in the afternoon, that's what I'm hearing. Victoria Jones of the Talk Radio News Service, talkradionews.com. Thank you, Victoria.
Thank you.
Always great talking with you. Coming up tomorrow, it's Friday. It's Brunch with Bernie, America's senator, with our national town hall, taking your questions for an hour right here. So we'll be back. And don't forget, my friends, democracy begins with you. Activism begins with you. It all starts when we, the people, get active. Tag, you're it. See you tomorrow.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. For exclusive audio archives and more information, visit HartmanRadio.com.